Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We are back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano, Martin Kilcoyne, Brian Hoffman, Plowsy is here. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing not to like about Steph Curry. Everything about him, in terms of him being a teammate, a father, a husband, a son, everything about him is great. Howard University announced the first Division I golf program in its 152-year history on Monday, the first day of the fall semester, with the financial backing of Golden State Warriors superstar Steph Curry. Curry pledged a seven-figure total donation to be given through the next 6 years, according to the Washington Post. Howard, which offered a Division II program until the 70s, will become one of approximately 30% of historically black colleges to have a golf program. How about that? Isn't that special?
And good for him having that kind of money and then using it and putting it to good use, giving it to other people. I love that. I mean, we see these deals. These guys are getting $40 million. And you think about what you could do with that. And I'm sure he does other things. This is getting a little bit of publicity.
He does a lot of charity golf events. He does. I know he does a ton of random appearances to where maybe money's not even involved. He's doing it out of good faith. I think the NBA player at the superstars, especially LeBron James, it's under the radar how much money annually he spends on giving kids an opportunity to go to college, building some high schools, some extracurricular activities for high schoolers to avoid, you know, the gang and drugs that some of those inner city kids get involved with. And I don't think these guys get a lot of credit just because, oh, he makes $40 million, what, $2 million off it? I mean, that's a significant amount of money that you donate, you know, so whatever the number is. I mean,
and he's a passionate golfer and a really good one. And he reached out to Howard officials and said, you know, I'd like to help. I'd like to be involved. And, you know, this is secondary. But even just the way he brought Kevin Durant into the organization, and they'd already won a championship, and Durant immediately became their best player and was the two-time MVP of the finals. You know, you contrast that with that Kyrie Irving character. Jeez, there's a big difference between those two.
Now, that said, I still don't get retiring Durant's number. Do you?
No.
Isn't that, I mean,
that's guilt.
It's a couple of years there, and he did seem to have a little bit of a fragile ego, and so it almost seemed that they were placating him on the way out, which is weird.
They feel bad about the Achilles. That's a guilt talk.
Hey, we blew out.
Sorry
about that.
Pausing your career there.
Hey,
Kevin.
We'll give you a statue.
Yeah.
You good with that? By the way, the great Bobby McCormick yesterday was at Lambeau Field, sent a picture of himself next to Vince Lombardi. That has to be not only a great coaching combo.
Lombardi and McCormick?
Isn't that statue one of the biggest you've ever seen?
That is unbelievable.
Because it's not life size. It's beyond that, which Lombardi in that town and the stadium is on Lombardi Avenue. I was just looking at it because Bob looks minuscule next to that statue of Vince Lombardi. And if you're going to do it right. I mean, it is.
That's not as big as Stan's, though, is it?
I think it's bigger. Don't you
really
think? Look, doesn't Bob look like he is just dwarfed?
Well, he is kind of a tiny guy. Let's see. Let me look at this picture one more time.
Bob spent the weekend, Door County. A couple of travel tips from me. He was in a little town called Ephraim, and I said, just so you know, as weird as it is, they don't serve alcohol in that town.
Yeah.
But just a couple miles up the road, Sister Bay said, don't worry, we crushed it there last night.
You're right.
Isn't it massive?
Bigger than Stan, yeah. I love it in the trench coat and the hat.
Or the Lombardi statue, yeah.
You know, have you ever seen Lombardi documentaries about what kind of a different, weird guy he was? And he would have these parties, which was great to celebrate, you know, and bring families, but he was just really awkward, couldn't talk to a wife of a player. And, you know, he got them mink coats, the players' wives at one time, but just was the most awkward person possible. And you know what? He died of like colon cancer, and it's because he said he didn't want somebody sticking a camera up there, you know what.
Oh,
and, you know, it's like a testament.
Weird thing.
It's a testament, though, for getting tested. You know what I'm saying? That men didn't want to do that for a long time.
Right,
and
something
now you
preventable.
Have to do it. It's something so easy.
I'm going to bring up the Packer Hall of Fame, how well done it was. But Took a different turn
there. You got excited when we started talking Packers. And then we got into some rectal issues, and Plowsy just kind of stepped away from the mic.
It really is, though. If you've ever been to Lambeau Field, I've been there 4 times. I plan on going again here in the next year or two. It's just unbelievable how they do it. Just the atmosphere outside of a football game. Martin, I don't know if you've...
I've been there a ton, okay. Not recently. But it's they did a great job revamping. Instead of... Because for a while, they were like, well, what do we do? This is an old... I mean, it was like a crappy college stadium for a while. And they would tweak it a little bit, add a little luxury suite over here and there. And they finally said, all right, we got to do some major renovations without changing the vibe inside.
Did the tour when they first changed it. It's unbelievable. So I'd highly recommend it, just even as a football fan, maybe not as a Packer fan. It really is cool with it.
You know, the greatest thing that Ron Wolf, who was the GM, friend of Tony, the greatest thing he did, you could argue, traded for Brett Favre, hired Mike Holmgren. But possibly the longer legacy is, they were playing 3 games a year in Milwaukee. And he said, we have legendary Lambeau Field. He said, what are we doing? We're playing in a baseball, it was County Stadium, on a baseball field, 3 games a year. And he's the one who went to Milwaukee and said, this is over. Sorry. He said, you guys will love getting in your car. Nobody's going to mind a weekend road trip to go to Lambeau Field. So he's the one who ended that. Yep. Think about how stupid that is. Like if the Cardinals...
Yeah.
You have Busch Stadium, but let's say, you know, 30, 40% of the games, we're going to play them in Decatur just for the hell of it. Nobody would agree with that. Now, he did try and change the uniform.
You can't.
Ron Wolf said, I think we need to have more.
Powder blue.
He wanted. Yes,
anthracite.
On the road. He said, I think we're going to go more Notre Dame colors. And he just got blasted out of the water. And he said.
As he should have.
He said, I underestimated. So, kudos for the one. And actually, kudos for realizing how stupid changing the uniform was.
Yes.
All right. A couple of good texts. Will Bader be up for his bobblehead day?
Oh, when is that?
Not sure.
I think it's soon. It's like 10 days from now.
And it's not his fault.
Is that in September? Well, if it's in September, he's definitely up.
No, I think it's in August.
I think it's
26th or 7th, maybe?
Just out of it.
And it's not his fault, but I'm not sure he needs a bobblehead. I mean, does Ozuna have a bobblehead? I don't know. I mean,
August 22nd, this Thursday. August 22nd against the Rockies.
That's absolutely beautiful.
Everything else about it is great because it's Worldwide Technology Raceway Night at the ballpark. So, by all means, go and get the Bader bobblehead. Pretend it's a player currently on the 25-man roster.
Which I'm pretty sure with him raking along with the bobblehead, you might see a call up here in the next couple of days.
You got to wonder where his head's at after a year ago. He's on the rise, clearly. They love to market him.
Spring
and now he's in Memphis and on the same team as Dylan Carlson. And he's got to be looking around going, God, this guy's a stud.
Can you imagine how tough that is?
Dylan 7 for 17 in his first trip in AAA.
Just imagine if you're a really good college player, or you're a high school superstar, and you're drafted in the second or third round, and you show up in Jupiter, Florida, and there's like 10 guys at your position, all who have unbelievable resumes. You got to be, how the heck?
And you're a great teammate, most people are, but you look and you say, God, this is Rosarena. He's got some skill. Well, here comes Carlson. You have to be doing the numbers
game.
Could
they miss a couple of fly balls?
Right.
Well, in the Cardinals organization, if you're that guy, you just wait for them to trade you because you instantly become a better player. And for Mikoto,
you'll
have your chance elsewhere. Yeah, that's
what was the stat? It was Matt Adams in the outfield. Remember, Tommy Pham hit the like button on the stat.
On the Fangraphs article.
That highlighted the fact that Adams was a bad outfielder. And Tommy hit the like button.
I miss him so much. Oh.
You probably, as a good teammate... My premise on most of this, you probably shouldn't hit the like button when it's mocking the defense of a teammate.
That's true.
But it is another example. And granted, they're tied for first.
That was a Matheny idea, wasn't it?
To throw him out there? Yeah. I think they're trying to get him some at-bats.
Yeah.
But you had a Matt Adams who you didn't really have a spot for him, correct? And then...
Where are you going to play him?
Luke Voit. You said, well, we don't really have a... You have a lot of guys who have some value, but you don't really have a spot for him. It's weird.
You're fine with trading the first baseman at that time. That was the wrong first baseman. He showed promise. He's a local kid. And Matt Adams, wasn't that his second go-around, Matt Adams, with the club at that time?
So.
You know he's not the long-term solution. I'm fine if you're log-jammed at first to trade a guy, but Luke Voit just didn't get enough at-bats to me to just ship him off. And that would... I'm fine trading, just make sure it's the right guy. And Luke Voit, injury plagued second half of the season, but still, numbers just don't lie.
And it's an organization that loves numbers. That's why I think over the weekend, even before the big blowout game where they scored, the Waino start, they scored, 13?
Of course.
But there's a lot of talk about Colton Wong and the numbers that he's been putting up. And he's still always hitting 6th, 7th, 8th down there. I think I'd put him at 2. Leave Fowler alone.
Absolutely.
Leave Fowler alone, lead off, switch hitter, and then put Wong in the 2 hole.
Okay, but you know what, though? You have to deal with Yachty's ego if you place him further down, which I'm absolutely fine with. But so where do you hit Yachty in that lineup? Who hits 8th?
I think I could live with Molina 6th or 7th, and then my third baseman, whether it's Carpenter, Edmund, whoever, is going to be somewhere down there. And then my other outfielder, if it's a Rosarena, Lane Thomas, in that scenario, I think it's either Edmund or Carpenter's at 3rd, and they're batting 7th or 8th, and it's either a Rosarena or Thomas, and they're batting 7th or 8th. And I think you can live with that. Molina
just
imagine
if you
7.
Just did the right thing and said, you know what, I don't care about egos or what people have done. Who gives us a best chance to win at 7 o'clock tonight? Matt Carpenter would not be in the lineup, and Yadier Molina would be hitting 7th or 8th. No, and that's the way it should
right.
be.
Right, and there's no doubt about it. And I think, I know there is ego, of course there is, but I think Molina, if you're hitting 7th, you could live with that. Hitting 8th is maybe a little bit of an ego blow, and you got guys who could hit 8th, whether it's a Rosarena or Lane Thomas. You have options, but put Colton Wong higher up in the lineup, hitting 2 would be perfect, and they're a stats-driven organization, yet they seem to be ignoring some of the obvious. The Wong numbers since really July 1st. Are very notable, and yet they seem to ignore that. It is weird, and I think Schilt, even the answer he gave yesterday where he said Tommy Edman is a everyday player, I think that's in part. I think he's a little aware, don't you think, of the vibe out there that people think.
They felt he was playing too much.
Yeah, that Edman has sort of reached teacher's pet status, and I think Schilt was trying to make it very clear. I think he used that postgame comment to try and address those people who were saying that.
I will say this, though, is I think he's perfect in his stolen bases. He runs extremely well. He's a good defender. I mean, the dent in his armor, because he does have 5 home runs, is the fact that he doesn't get on base enough, which is not a small.
Yeah,
runner.
I like Tommy Edman. I just think he was being played a little too much. That's all. And at the expense sometimes of other people, like Lane Thomas, who showed a little flash and then got iced, and a Rosarena, who we thought was going to bring a little spark. I like Tommy Edman. That's the thing, is when you get into these discussions, it's almost like you're crushing that player. And we're saying, no, it's not your fault. It's like if Michael Walker gets lit up, I would almost say, it's not your fault. It's their fault because they're putting you in that position.
Jim Baker's prison lover is my new handle.
I knew that was coming. Doesn't that sound like the perfect TMA,
yeah,
avatar, text line, whatever? Jim Baker's prison lover. Yeah, I can't believe that wasn't taken.
Yeah, why isn't Frank listening in the morning after a while on the treadmill?
Yeah,
you know,
Frank.
When they go to commercial.
Yeah, they're in a break. Yeah.
Turn on TV.
I mean, it's all right. I mean, I wouldn't mind hearing Iggy break down his golf game.
And you'll hear about 8:05. Almost at random every time you switch it on. It's not because we regurgitate the same topic. It's probably just coincidence.
Oh, just and the audience cycles on and off, so you got to reset and play the hits.
Yeah, we got to reset.
So Iggy's golf game, you got to play the hits. So maybe you hit it at about 7:05 and then kind of revisit it at about 8:15.
Yeah, and the listeners love it. You could tell by the text inbox. They can't get enough of it.
Oh, boy.
Iggy's sort of the character they love to hate.
Yes.
Or they just hate. Love you, Iggy.
Sounds like
I enjoy.
That,
no,
that
I
was
love
a good
Iggy.
Post to that. A nice good postscript.
Love you, Iggy. He's my guy. He's on all my right. staff.
I bash your topics. I
love
bash
Iggy.
Your presence.
No.
But I love you.
He was a great debate about what a bunker costs, right?
Oh, yeah. He said $30,000 per bunker, and it was $6,000.
It depends
right
where
there.
You play.
It's right there.
I think it depends. Ballpark.
All right, we'll take a short time out. Hollywood Casino is our title sponsor if you're looking for a place for the weekend. We recommend staying the weekend at Hollywood Casino, where they've sunk millions of dollars into these newly refurbished rooms. They're outstanding. The people watching is incredible. The gambling is great, but I love the food. Love to have the appetizers at 99 Hops House. Love to have a great steak at Final Cut Steakhouse. Wow, is that good stuff. And, of course, the all-you-can-eat buffet where the shrimp is just unbelievable. Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor, will be right back.